And you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com. And it's always freely available as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the opportunity and privilege to speak with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I want to say hey to Michaela. Hey, Michaela, how's it going today?
Well, and yourself, Pam?
Good, good. I've had a pretty relaxed day. It's really, really hot here in New York. So right now I'm like totally enjoying sucking up some air conditioning. So I'm so happy that you're a guest with us today. So to get us started, could you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and where you're from and what keeps you busy.
My name's Michaela. I live in San Diego. What keeps me busy is I work a lot and, I hang out with members from my NSA chapter throughout the weeks, and I read, and I'm actually going to be getting a piano brought to my house tomorrow to be able to play piano again. So,
Oh, wow, that's cool. So what kind of work do you do?
Currently, I work for the County of San Diego. I float through different offices. So right now, I'm working for the Office of Military and Veteran Affairs being outreach. But my passion is emergency medicine, so EMS and firefighting, and I'm waiting on my licensing for that, and I'll be doing that full-time here sometime soon.
Oh, awesome. Now, you say that's your passion. How did you get involved in that?
I grew up in the military, and I go, go, go was always part of my life. And then I really like medicine. I like helping people. So it just was a natural way to go. I had went to school for nursing and decided that wasn't where I wanted to be and chose this as a different career path and have fallen in love with it.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So obviously, medicine and being an EMT requires a lot of communication. So, how do you manage that? Like, I mean, you must have to like speak on your feet like all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely been a difficult thing, but, thankfully I've had some really good employers, especially the back east where I grew up. They let me figure out methods that would work for me. If there was a day that just what wasn't working well, I could ask my partner for help. Allow me to try to use the radio if I feel like I will want to go do that or not. And if I'm not willing to do that day, we'll have my partner do it. So, and the way I look at it is like, if the patient has a problem with my stutter, then they don't really need my help as a EMT. So
that's a great attitude to have. And I would think that most patients probably weren't thinking about your stuttering. They were thinking about whatever crisis they were having, right?
Exactly.
So, and it also sounds like the way you described, like, your supervisors and your partner, like, it sounds like you were like pretty open about your stuttering.
Yeah. Part of being EMS is that you kind of create a family within your station. and we were with each other for 72 hour shifts. So there was no real way to not be open. My stutter is pretty out there. I don't hide it. So yeah, they had to get over it very quickly, and they did. So.
Wow. So that sounds like a really great example of a stutter-friendly work environment.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely in an area you wouldn't think would be, but yes, I'm very lucky.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people aren't in workplaces that are stutter-friendly, so you're right. One that requires such a high degree of communication to be fortunate enough to feel like it's okay and you can be yourself, that's really awesome.
Yeah.
So you said that you were back east. So you like just recently moved to the West Coast?
Yeah, I moved to San Diego in January. So it's been the 18th of this month of July will be six months. Before that, I lived in Vermont.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so close to you.
Yeah, yeah. Whereabouts in Vermont?
More like central Vermont, though. I've lived in almost every county there. So.
Yeah, I've been to Burlington and Bennington. That's about all I really know of Vermont.
The two cities of Vermont, right?
Yeah, right. I don't even know, like, a lot of the other smaller... No, wait a minute. I take that back. I actually went to Pownell, Vermont.
Okay.
For many years when they had dog racing there. in the Green Mountain part of Vermont. Yeah. But I don't think they have that there anymore.
I don't think so. I haven't heard of it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So what made you decide to move all the way across the country?
Well, I was going to be turning 21, and I'd grown up in the military, so I had moved a lot growing up. So that wasn't, I'd lived in Vermont for the past 6 years, almost seven. And I decided it was time to move. It was negative 25 during the winters. And then it would get up to like 100 degrees with super high humidity during the summer. And I wanted to find a place that I chose to live in. And so I decided California, and opportunities presented itself here. And I just flew here, and I was like, okay, I'm going to make a life here.
Wow. Did you already have a job before you moved, or did you just kind of like wing it?
I mean, I had a job with someone I had known from high school with their family that unfortunately didn't work out, but that provided me a housing situation for a bit. And then I got a different job that, like I said, through the county. And I just recently signed a year's lease with one of my friends here. So.
Wow. So 6 months you've been in California, and you said you just recently turned 21.
Yep. In March.
Such a baby. And you're working for the county, and you said it's like a float job. So does that mean like you often work for different departments?
Yeah. So about every 3 months I transfer departments. So before working at the Office of Military and Veteran Affairs, I worked for the Welfare Department. And unfortunately, I didn't have such great luck there. My supervisors weren't the best. But it's definitely a really great experience because a lot of learning, and navigating different interactions with different people and different workplace roles, like having to be out in the front of the office and talking to people and trying to deal with whatever was going on in their lives and not getting upset or taking what they said personal, which often comes when they're in a hard situation, comes as an attack towards stuttering. So very thankful that I just changed positions, but yeah.
So you just changed positions. So like, do you have to like explain to people about stuttering, or do you just like assume that they're gonna know that you stutter because it's obvious? Like, how do you deal with that?
Well, I don't get interviewed at this point. I just get placed in a different office, so my supervisors have no idea that, hey, this good girl is coming in that we're counting on to do all these jobs that stutters. So I have to sit down, and thankfully the NSA has great pamphlets for employers and great website for everything about stuttering, and I offer them those resources, and I explain that yes, I stutter, and sometimes it sounds like I'm having a hard time communicating, but I just communicate differently, and if they give me the time, that I can do what they need me to do.
Wow. And once you do that, and once you say that, they have been like pretty supportive?
For the most part, yeah.
What about the clients that you work with? Have you run into any situations where you've had to be like pretty assertive?
Yeah. So actually just recently I got back from the NSA conference and went back to work after a week of not working. And the first day there, our computer systems crashed. We were super behind because none of us were there the previous week. The other person who works alongside of me had called out sick for the week. So, and once the clients came in and said it was my fault that the computer systems crashed because I was retarded, and I had to like take a step back, and I'm like, my intelligence isn't related or connected at all to my fluency. And I explained that, like, I just stutter, and it's not anything to do with how intelligent I am. And he ended up apologizing, but there's definitely some situations where, especially if people are having a bad day, that they lash out, and I have to breathe and just remind them that, hey, we're all different.
Wow. I probably would have like freaked out if somebody had said that to me, especially at your age, because when I was your age, I totally was not in a place where you are, where it sounds like you're pretty open and accepting. I would have probably like walked out to my car and started crying.
six months ago, I would have been that way too. I'm very lucky that I found you're friends with Annie. She's helped me learn a lot of different ways of thinking around these situations, and being connected with the NSA has helped me like learn to not hate my stuttering and accept that it's part of what makes me who I am and makes me strong, and use it as something that's powerful in my life and not something that's going to make me weak.
Wow. That just kind of like almost gave me like goosebumps. So how did you find the NSA?
So it was a little bit before Christmas, and I tried logging onto Stutter Social, which is that video platform for people who stutter or have an interest in stuttering, and I couldn't log on. I had a really bad computer issues. So I messaged the host, who ended up being Annie. And the next day she video chatted with me, trying to, through like Facebook Messenger, I believe, trying to figure out how we could make this work. Connected me to Danielle, who was helping us with. And ever since then, and Annie and I had talked. I was going through a really dark time at that point in my life. So having Annie, who was a person who stutters, and you know how she is. She's very kind and loving. I just stayed in contact with her. So when I decided I was going to move across the country on a whim, she connected me with the local NSH chapter, and the rest is history.
Wow. So you hadn't been involved with the NSA before moving across the country?
I had never met anyone in person who stuttered until I moved across the country. No.
Oh my God. Wow. That is amazing. And you are lucky enough to be with the San Diego chapter, which they're so cool. Like, what was it like when you went to your first meeting?
I was terrified. I had never heard someone besides Annie briefly on that one video chat, really. Never been in a room with anyone who stuttered. So it makes me sound horrible, but I'm like, wait, that's what I sound like, which was very eye-awakening. But then we went out to dinner after our chapter meeting and started talking, and I realized that, hey, I'm with people who get me, people who understand what's going on in my life. And I stayed in contact with them, and our chapter does a social event every month. So we go out and do something fun in the community, and we did that. And slowly, I mean, I still get kind of anxious when I'm around a large group of people who stutter, not because I don't know how to explain why. Like, the conference though was definitely nerve-wracking, but also like amazing all in the same. But yeah,
so obviously the conference, which was just like 2 weeks ago in Chicago, that was your first time, obviously.
Yes.
So, oh my God, like, so you go from not knowing anybody who stutters to joining a local chapter, and then deciding, hey, I'm going to go to this conference with 800 people. And what made you decide to like want to go?
I had heard such amazing things about it, how it's changed so many people's lives in the stuttering community. I also wanted to meet people that I talked to online that were involved in the NSA, such as yourself. And so I decided, you know, I had time from work that I could take, and I applied for scholarship, and I got approved for it. So everything worked out, and it allowed me to go. So I'm like, I'm going to go and step out of my comfort zone and, you know, dive right in, and very happy that I did.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wonderful that the NSA offers some financial assistance, particularly to first timers, because it can seem daunting. It can seem like, oh my God, like this isn't going to work. Like I can't afford it or whatever. So it's so heartwarming to hear when people are able to benefit from that. Cause I had that too for my first conference. I got a scholarship, which included my registration and my hotel room. I had to have a roommate though, and they paid, you know, so, and that freaked me out because I'm like, oh my God, like not only am I going to my very first conference, and I was going from New York to California for my first one. Yeah. But I was gonna be rooming with somebody that I'd never met and who also stuttered, and I was terrified too, but you know, like you said, it was just like completely life changing. So what was your first day like? So what was it like when you got there? What did it feel like?
Well, we had just finished a 4-hour flight. And then an hour long ride from the airport to the hotel because of the traffic. So I was quite tired. So we went up to our hotel room and, you know, put everything away. And then I was like, okay, you know, I'm not going to just sit and hang out with people I know. So I went down to the lobby and saw Annie and I introduced myself to some people, and immediately people are welcoming and just started chatting, asking, wanting to know about you. And it was really interesting. I learned so many different stories about different people. I thought, you know, like, there couldn't be that many differences between us. We all stutter, and yet there is, and it's all really interesting to learn about all that.
Yeah. So when did you arrive? Did you get there on Wednesday?
Was Wednesday the first day of the conference?
Yeah.
Okay, we got there Tuesday then, sorry.
All right. So did you go to the first timers orientation then?
Yes, I did. That was really cool. I think everything about that conference was amazing, but that was one of the most helpful things for me, because it laid a foundation on what to expect and different methods that we could approach this conference. And we heard from other people who had gone to conferences before, and what their idea was, how we could make this the best conference possible for ourselves.
Awesome. That's good to hear, because me and Annie and the volunteers worked hard to try to make that useful. And there's so many first timers, obviously, from all different stages of the journey, that it's like hard to like know like what's gonna work. And so it was nice that there was a good turnout, and it's nice to hear from a younger person like yourself that it really was helpful and laid a good foundation. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Did you go to a lot of workshops?
I tried to go to at least two a day. I didn't want to push myself, because I also didn't want to be exhausted and not want to communicate with other people. So I also took time for myself, would go back upstairs, you know, de-stress, and then restart and go back down. So I tried to go to at least two a day.
That's really a smart way to approach it, actually, because I remember my first time, I wanted to go to everything, like every workshop, every day, and it was exhausting, and it was like information overload, and I just kind of like didn't know how to process everything. So that just sounds like a really well thought out plan. So kudos to you for like figuring that out and not stressing yourself. Taking time for self-care when you're participating in something like that, that's big and new and scary, sort of, is really important. So was there a favorite workshop that you attended?
Probably the advertising one. We went out to the community and asked people if they knew anything about stuttering, and if they did, what did they know? If they didn't, we explained it. We also like just went up and asked random people for instructions on places we had no plan on going, but just practicing talking to people that we didn't know and explaining why we talk like this. And we got mixed reactions to it, but it was definitely like eye-awakening to see other people in very different parts of their journey with stuttering doing the same exact thing and feeling the same fears that I felt.
Yeah. Was that the first time you had done something like that?
I mean, I've been trying. I've heard about advertising through the Stutter Social videos, and I didn't quite understand exactly what it meant, but over the past six months, I've, you know, gotten into the habit of, like, not trying to apologize for my stutter, but giving the person listening to me, like, heads up so that they're not blindsided when I start talking, because I feel like that's where we often get the most hard interactions, or with people who have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point, because you're right. People may react negatively to us, or how we sound or laugh or whatever, when they're unprepared. And, you know, if we take a moment to prepare them and, you know, just explain, it not only helps them as the listener, but I've always felt, and, you know, maybe you feel the same, it always, like, helped me feel less anxious.
Yeah, exactly.
I did that too my first year, and we did it in like small groups. So like four or five of us went together as a group, and like a veteran conference goer like was with each of us, and like kind of like pushed us and told us to go and talk to that person. And it was really scary for me, but I also felt like a little bit freeing, because I knew that I was never going to see those people again.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter if somebody reacted bad.
Especially when you're across the country from where you live. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So you guys also, from the San Diego chapter, there was like quite a few of you there from the chapter at the conference, right?
Yeah, the pretty much the regular group of our chapter, we definitely have more people who didn't attend the conference who attends our meetings, but the regular group of us who go every month and go to every social event went. We flew, a group of us actually were on the same plane, got the Uber together, shared rooms together. It was very helpful to be in a huge new environment with people that I knew.
Oh, wow. That's really awesome. Like I said, when I went my first time, I was paired with somebody that I didn't know, and it was scary. And, you know, I didn't know people, you know, like from my area that had also gone. So it was like being baptized by fire. So I imagine it certainly made it smoother for you, you know, knowing people and, you know, even rooming with people that you already knew. And you guys won like a special award at the conference, right?
Yeah, we won the 2018 chapter of the year award.
That is so amazing. Like, how did that feel?
Well, none of us were expecting it. So I kind of made a fool out of myself, because I threw my arms up. I'm like, yes, in front of everybody when they announced who got it. It was, this chapter has been such an amazing part of my life in this past year, has helped me grow so much. So it was very, very nice to have them recognized for how great they really are.
Yeah. That's, I didn't see your like fist bump or anything, but I did see you guys all go up on the stage like together as a group to like accept the recognition together as a group. And you all looked so excited and proud, and that was really cool to see.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah. So is there like a favorite moment, or, you know, besides like the workshops and like meeting other people, is there like a special moment that like kind of stands out the most for you?
Yeah, one of the biggest moments for in the whole conference was for me was part of a workshop, I ended up leaving it because I got really nervous because we were going around in a circle sharing what we had just written. And I resorted back to like the same behaviors. And I'm like, oh, I didn't get coffee this morning. I'm going to go get coffee. Does anyone want anything? And I left. And then I ran into one of my chapter members who outside, and he's like, what are you doing? And I explained. And then I was like, wow, I just did this. And I felt bad about it, but it was such a big moment for me that I decided, you know, I'm not going to do this for the rest of the conference. I don't want to feel this shame again. So I think that was one of the biggest and most eye-awakening moments for me. And I've tried to take that moment and bring it back to my daily life now and change how I interact with those type of situations.
Yeah. Did you go back to the workshop?
I did, but it was just ending.
All right. Oh, wow. Cool. Well, so it really does sound like your first experience at a NSA conference was like life-changing. Would you say that that's like the correct word to use?
But very much so. This past week, I've had that, you know, NSA conference withdrawal, if you may allow me to say that. I want to go back. I want to be with my people because that's really what it is, or is that you're with your people.
Yeah. I think everybody goes through that. Like you're on like this like conference high while you're there and you're meeting and talking with so many people, like you said, who get you. And then you go back to work and, I mean, you go back home and you go back to work. Like, I went back to work Monday, like, the day after I got back. And it was just like, oh, my God, like, nobody really cares where I was for a week. And they knew where I was, but they didn't, like, appreciate it. And, like, I felt like I couldn't really tell anybody, like, where I'd been and what I experienced and how it felt because they didn't care, you know, and it just felt like, oh my God, I want to be around my tribe.
I had an interaction with a coworker who thought I was going to Chicago for speech therapy. She didn't understand that it was a conference. Like I had explained, oh, I'm going to a conference for people who stutter. And so I come back and she's like, you're still stuttering. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, why? I'm like, what do you mean why? And she's like, didn't you go to learn how to not stutter? I had to explain, actually, no, I went to be around other people who and learn how to accept my stutter. So,
oh my God, she actually asked you that?
Yeah, it was. I ended up laughing at her. It was a very funny situation.
Wow. Have you ever had speech therapy?
Yeah, growing up, I did. Unfortunately, I didn't get very consistent speech therapy because I moved every 6 to 9 months as a child. And I also had very negative experiences with it. A lot of it was like, oh, use this technique. And if I was still stuttering, it was because I wasn't using the technique and I just needed to try more. A lot of my speech therapists were of the older generations who weren't necessarily have the same training that the SLPs nowadays have, but I had the great opportunity in May to go up to Oregon for a camp for it was more of a retreat for adults who stutter, put on board by the Portland State University and their stuttering lab.
Oh.
So their school requires their SLPs to take a whole course solely centered on stuttering, and for one of their final projects they put on this camp like thing, and we went up and it was 16 adults from the West Coast. We got together, went out into the middle of the woods with no cell phone service, no internet, and just hung out and were with each other and our stutters. And that really changed my view on SLPs because these people weren't getting into the profession to cure people of stuttering. They wanted to help people who stutter lead a better life by accepting it and learning different techniques of how to accept it and how to go into situations with their stutter.
Wow, that sounds like such an amazing experience. Like, was it for like a week, like a weekend or a whole week?
It was for a weekend. Yes.
Wow. Wow. And did you know any of the people before you got there?
I knew one. He was from my chapter. We went up together. So I was, again, not alone, which is very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You know, I feel like we could just keep talking like forever because you're really easy to talk to, and you're so open, and I appreciate that, but we have to wind down. It just, the time goes so fast when we're talking about something that we have in common, and I just appreciate your willingness to be open and share. So I have one more question. What would you advise a young woman, because we're talking on this podcast, women who stutter, what would you advise a young woman who is kind of like maybe still in hiding or hasn't figured out like how to confront or approach stuttering and wants to start like the journey? What advice might you give somebody like who's like 18 or 19?
I guess my best advice was go at your own pace. Don't have people pressure you into doing anything, but find a group. If it's the NSA, if it's the Stutter Social, if it's another group of people who stutter, and just put yourself in there, because once you do, you're never going to feel alone again. I think that's one of the hardest parts of being young and possibly never knowing other people who stutter, is you just truly feel alone. And once you meet others, you never do again.
Wow. And that's what it's about, right? That's what it's all about. The national network and the support system locally, and the Stutter Social, which I'm part of, also, and that's how we met, obviously, you know, and that includes people globally as well. I mean, people from around the world take part in that. It just sounds like you have been involved in like this, like total immersion experience. And look at you, you're like blossoming. Like, do you feel changed as a person?
Yeah, yes, totally changed. So many great opportunities have happened solely because I opened up and started exploring my stuttering and talking to other people and accepting it. And I think, yeah, 6 months ago, I would never have imagined doing anything that I'm doing now. So,
are you going to go to Fort Lauderdale next year?
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. Have to figure that out. I'm getting ready to leave for Portland again for a camp for kids who stutter.
And okay.
So have to figure out what things I want to commit to for next year, but I definitely want to commit to the NSA conference again.
I hope so. I really hope that you do. But it also is really important to make priorities and, you know, like you said, pace yourself and not take on the attitude that you can or should do everything, because we can't.
Yeah.
So, Michaela, this has been so wonderful. Thank you so much for being a guest today.
Thank you, Pam, for having me.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.